The Road to the Derby podcast series does continue. Mark Melusis and Brian Monzo from WFAN, Kenny Peck from the Daily Racing Forum with you as the fairgrounds down in Louisiana is in full focus on Saturday. It is as it is a Louisiana Derby day, and we're going to be handicapping eight races down at the fairgrounds on Saturday and one at Aqueduct. That will be race eight. Good evening, gentlemen. What's going on, guys?
What's up, Moose?
Yo.
Guys doing well?
Not as good as you.
No, well, listen, we as a team have handicapped all of the prep races to the Derby properly because we've picked a winner each and every prep race.
And we've
the combination of the three of us.
Right. So what I have to make sure I do is remember to box whatever we pick and try and hit the exact. We've hit some long shots. The winner of the Tampa Bay Derby, Tacitus, whatever the hell
Tacitus.
The horse is. Tacitus.
Billy Mott, Judmon Farm. Jose Ortiz,
you know, starting that
nine
was a
to one.
Big price there, giving the advice to use a trifecta with Some Like It Hot Brown, which paid big balloons. Going in the last week with long range Toddy won that race, defeating Improbable, and then Moose nailing it with Omaha
Beach,
yes.
Holding on
yes.
By a nose as game winner. That's the proper name of the horse, of course. Not to the track announcer, we called him Game Time about three times, but. Game winner held on by a nose over game winner. Omaha Beach the winner. There you go.
You know, I felt good.
Yeah, some prices too, guys, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, Mons.
Now,
yeah,
even
not
though,
all favorites.
Even though Laughing Fox, you know, was horrible. I felt good that I said game winner would really grind down the stretch and probably not get there, and that's exactly what happened. So not quite as exciting as having the winner, but being right about beating the favorite sometimes is just as satisfying. Well, not really, but close.
Well, there you go. And this Saturday, the battle to earn a spot in this year's Kentucky Derby heads to the Fairgrounds race course for the Louisiana Derby. Build your Derby bankroll with Naira Bets. Bet at least $50 on one horse to win the Louisiana Derby. Get $20 cash bonus, win or lose. Participate in all five bankroll builder races to earn a $100 bonus. Only available with Naira Bets. If you're not playing with Naira Bets yet, sign up today with promo code Monzo, M-O-N-Z-O. Earn a $200 new member bonus with Naira Bets. You can bet any track from anywhere at any time. And if you listen to this podcast every single week throughout the course of the road to the first Saturday in May in the Kentucky Derby at Churchill Downs, we're going to make you some cash because we've been good up until this point. There's no reason to believe our solid handicapping between the three of us will lead us otherwise, and we just pick winners upon winners upon winners, and that's it. And we give you price horses, too. We'll tell you when to bet the favorite, but we'll also give you price horses, yeah. Too, and that's what it's about.
Listen later in the show. You'll hear all about the favorites.
That's exactly right, because it could be a chalky day down at the fairgrounds. All right, boys, let's start with race two at the fairgrounds. Mile and 70 yards on Saturday. It's the Crescent City Oaks as seven three-year-old fillies will go postward. Kenny, who do you like in this one?
Well, just talking just now about favorites and looking for favorites. And you know, to me, Midnight Fantasy is the favorite, obviously, here. 7-5 morning line, probably more like 4-5. I don't see how you could take a sure price on this horse. The last race at Delta, the Premium Star, you know, that was a race. She could not have had an easier or better trip. Perfectly spotted and just nailed on a wire by Good Profit was my top pick, number 5. You know, Midnight Fantasy failed there at a mile despite a perfect trip. Now you want me to take her at a short price again, a little longer? No, thanks. I'll take a shot with Good Profit over the favorite.
All right, Mons, where'd you land?
Yeah, we start off on the same page here. I'm on Good Profit, who I think will benefit. I notice there's a lot of speed. The 1 has some speed in this race. The 4 has some speed. The 7 has some speed. The favorite, Midnight Fantasy, can go to the lead if have to. And Good Profit might be able to sit just off the pace. And, you know, the fairgrounds has a really long stretch. So, for me, closers really benefit at the fairgrounds if we're looking at good racing conditions. Good Profit has, you know, can sit off the pace. There should be some pace in front of the horse. And I think she'll get up there. And I think she'll get there at, you know, maybe 7-2, maybe even 4-1. It might drift up a little bit if everybody's betting the favorite.
Yeah. Who do you think, you know, who's going to be challenging the 4 on the lead, Fugitive Lady?
You got a couple of horses stretching out. You got the 3 and the Wildcat Indian who's stretching out. And many times those horses will show more speed than they did in the sprint races. Crescent City Pretty, the whole key is does she stay in a race or not because she's cross-entered later on. If she stays in, there's definitely pace in a race.
Right, definitely.
If she comes out, it does change the complexion.
It does a little bit. I think that could be an interesting scratch if she stays in the race. I mean, I look at the four I find is interesting at 6-1 on the morning line. First and foremost, 1-for-2 at the distance, 2-for-3 at the fairgrounds in terms of the running. And you look at her, if you look at her speed figures, look what she's done at the fairgrounds as compared to everybody else. And there's a significant difference. I mean, she steps onto that fairgrounds track. She runs a 70 by her, 62 by her, 72 by her. Her three previous races, or three other races, I should say, away from the fairgrounds, she's run a 40, a 35, and a 21. Maybe it's just a filly that's a horse for the course, where you look at what she's been able to do at the fairgrounds. Now, I think you got to see exactly what happens with the one. But, Fugitive Lady, if the one should come out of this race, I think might be a little intriguing from my vantage point. A horse that does like the course, has run well at the fairgrounds, got to see exactly who's going to be chasing her up front and on the lead. But for me, it's 4-5. I like Fugitive Lady, and I like Good Profit. The five that Kenny and Brian mentioned, those are the two that I'm going to be using in race two.
Your stock rises dramatically if the one comes out, obviously.
Correct.
And if she does come out, and you're still going to get a good price because the seven is going to be overbet again. I ended up using three, the Wildcat Indian, as a horse on the stretch, and only because the barn, if looking at DRF stats, from two sprints to a route race, is only had four times starting. It's a small sample, but with two winners, with horses stretching out off after at least two sprints. So I'm hoping that one can kind of stay close at a price. But for the win bet for me is definitely Good Profit.
Good Profit. Monzo, who are you using underneath?
I'm using Good Profit. I am going to use Fugitive Lady. I am going to use the favorite, Midnight Fantasy. So I am 5-4-7 in the second at the fairground.
Yeah, same three for me. 4-5-7 would be the three that I would use, and the 4 and the 5. And use that 4, especially if the one does come out of the race. All right, gentlemen, let's move on to the third race at the fairgrounds on Saturday. 11:56 Central Time, they will go postward. It's the New Orleans Ladies, 1/16 on the turf, worth $75,000. Kenny, who do you like in this one?
Just plotting a race. There's not a lot of speed, so I thought Lady Mamba would make the lead, but she gets a little bit fatigued on the front end, even when she's loose. So I kind of looked at the race, and I always look at these races in this way. When there's a vulnerable loose speed, who's the second speed? Who's the horse that could inherit the lead coming into the stretch? I ended up with the 8 Coach Whip, who I think can stay close, maybe inherit the lead off the turn. If Lady Mamba does get tired of coming into the lane, Lady Mamba does shorten up a little bit, and I was trying to make a case for her with the shortening to 1/16. But I don't know if she's up to the task in terms of her speed figure. So Coach Whip's the horse that I think is going to be ideally spotted just off that one.
Mons?
Yeah, I kind of started this race looking at – look. I looked at the favorite and said, this horse comes 10, 12, 10, 11 lengths off the lead, and there's not a lot of speed in this race. So I think we're looking at a favorite that's very vulnerable. I kind of did the same thing Kenny did. I didn't think the lone speed in this race – is really all that talented, and maybe not up for this type of race. So I looked for another speed horse, and I watched some of Flower Party's races, the horse coming over here from Italy, and you read some of the notes. Took the lead with 2 furlongs out, took the lead 2 furlongs out. I looked at some of the races. This horse has run against Snowy Winter and Party Goer. They look pretty quality. Joe Bravo gets the mount 5-2 coming over here. Long stretch at the fairgrounds. I'm on the 5. Flower Party is my top pick.
Yeah, Mons, you and I are on the same horse. I flirted a little bit with Vagabond Princess, but I ended up landing on Flower Party. And sometimes you see European horses come over, whether it be from Italy and obviously Ireland or England, because they're in search for the firmer turf. She's run well, in grade ones and grade threes and grade twos over in Italy. And I think she's going to be set up. I love the fact that Bravo's on her. Michael Stidham, we know how well he's done on the turf as well. That's where I landed 5-2 on the morning line. I landed on Flower Party, and I'm against Beau Recall, even with Jose Ortiz aboard at 2-1 on the morning line. Kenny, who do you use underneath?
Well, that makes three of us that are against Beau Recall, and I think for the same reason, we're all looking for a horse that's going to be a little closer to the pace, and her lack of positional speed is going to leave her with a lot to do. I like Flower Party, but in the morning line, did come out of 5-2, that kind of turned me off a little bit, because I think, you know, typical European, I think she wants some give in the course, which she may or may not get. Just at a short price, I was looking for somebody else, but that horse absolutely could win this race. So I ended up with 8-5. My third horse was the 9 Sensitive, making the first start off a long layoff. I like Cox sometimes off the long layoff. This horse, if she does come back running, she'll be tough because her speed figures do put her right in the middle of this, at least to get a part, maybe a horse to consider for Exactas.
Yeah, I went with Flower Party on top of the 9 Sensitive, and then I threw in the 3 Vagabond Princess, who's run well at the fairgrounds and run well at the distance, 11 times at the distance, has come in first or second at 7 times, and the buyer's speed figures are right there. Brian, who do you use underneath?
Yeah, Flower Patch on top. Well, I think he's going to get to the lead, make a pretty good early move at down the backstretch. I use Coach Whip, who I think loves this track, will sit just off the pace and is certainly fast enough. And I use the 3 Vagabond Princess, again, a horse that's very good at this distance, a horse that's very good at this track. You know, it's just a lot of things that I like. These tracks like this, like Oaklawn and Fairgrounds, I've noticed that if you like horses that have run well at the track, you stick with them, and it's a pretty good formula. So Vagabond Princess has some success at this track. I'm going to use her in the third slot, 5-8-3.
All right, let's move on to race 6 at the Fairgrounds on Saturday. Post time, 1:24 Central Time. It's the Crescent City Derby. 1/16 on the main track. The purse is $75,000. And, Kenny, we've got a full field of 12 that'll go postward in this one. Who do you like?
Well, another race where I was, you know, like we always do, we're trying to beat the favorites.
For sure.
Shang looks very tough on paper, and initially was going to be my top pick. And then I said, I'm not going to settle for a short price on Chang. Last time I thought I had a perfect trip in the two-turn debut at Delta. May or may not get that same type of trip, although he's well-drawn inside. I took a shot with Sharpwooded, the 8, the horse stretching out for Tom Amos. Really nice works, which is a nice work since the last start, which is kind of, you know, what the barn always seems to do. Now going two turns. But listen, this horse has decent pedigree to go along. The barn, of course, does real well with sprint to route horses. In the DRF PPs, you'll see 34% winners at 359 ROI. Amos is always tough. And with Irad riding and a horse with some positional speed, I'll take a shot against the favorite with this one. Not a strong feeling, just taking a shot against a horse who I think could be vulnerable to short price.
Kenny, did you write what you just said? Can you just repeat it all? Because I'm literally just going to say the same thing.
Is that right?
To me, Shang is... I wrote on my little notes here, I wrote, you know, no excuses. I see no reason to try and beat this horse outside of the price, because I can't find anything wrong with any of the rides or any, you know, say, well, it looked vulnerable here and didn't run well. Every one of these races got better. The buyers got better, great connections. And I'm only going to try and beat this horse because of the price. I landed on the 8, Sharpwooded. The works are solid. I love horses that go from two sprints to a route. I think this horse is going to run a good race. The question is this horse better than the favorite? I only find out when the race happens, and I'm going to use the 3 Inspector Eddie as my third pick in this race, a horse that could go to the lead, be the lone speed, and can maybe hold on for a piece. Sharpwooded, Shang, Inspector Eddie.
Yeah, I landed on the 8. We're all in agreement. Sharpwooded 4-1 on the morning line for Tom Amos and Arad Ortiz. I love the fact that the way he's been working as well. You know, the February 3rd, at the fairgrounds, 4 furlongs and 47 and change, second best out of 102 works that morning. You look at the latest workout, March 11th at the fairgrounds, 5 furlongs and 59 and change, the best of 29 that morning, which earned Sharpwooded a bullet as well. I think you get the distance. You know, I'd rather take a shot with him than looking at Shang, even though, you know, Shang has run very, very well at the fairgrounds. And if you steal the old Monzo horse for the course, he's ran 3 times at the fairgrounds. He's won twice and finished in second once. So I've got to use I'm going to use Shang underneath. But my top pick is with you guys in agreement would be the 8 Sharpwooded at 4-1 on the morning line. Kenny, who do you use underneath?
I am in lockstep with Monzo. 8-2-3 Sharpwooded with Shang and Over Inspector Eddie.
Yeah, I went 8-2. You know, and one other one that I might throw in there a little bit is at 8-1 on the morning line would be Jimmy's a Star. Has run well at the fairgrounds, run well at the distance as well. Could be a decent enough price. Has been working decently too. I would throw the 5 in if you go a little bit deeper. But I'm going to go 8 on top of the 2-5 would be my 3. All right, let's move on to race 9 at the fairgrounds on Saturday afternoon. And that is going to be the Costa Rising, which is 68,000, 5.5 furlongs on the turf, Kenny. Who do you like in this one?
Man, this is a good race. I mean, there's a lot of value in here. It's a bulky turf sprint race, which, you know, almost always you can try to take a shot at some value because of trips and everything else. You really don't want to take a short price, generally speaking, in a big field sprinting on the turf. I tried the 10 Wild About Star 12-1 morning line. In turf sprints, I really like horses who are proven specialists as turf sprinters, and I look for a couple of different things. One of them is I always want a horse with positional speed, a horse who can stay close and then make a late run, not necessarily a stone closer, not necessarily a horse that has to be on the lead. I also like when turf sprinters are trained by guys who specialize in turf sprints, and Albert Stoll does very well with turf sprinters. This horse does have positional speed. Last time had a ton of trouble. That probably was best in a race, but went down as the favorite. She's going to be a nice price here, and I think she's definitely going to improve upon that last buyer because she's better than that. Of course, if she gets a clean trip, that's the whole key in this race. But that's where the positional speed comes in, where she can overcome her outside post, and she should be every bit of 10-12-1.
Mons?
I kind of looked at this race, and I there was a lot of horses, right? And I was just like, I liked a lot of them, and it's not a big shot here. I'm not taking a long shot here, but I looked for someone that may not get some play, and I looked at the 11, a Fleet Ascent, who is you know, one for one at this distance.
Ortiz.
Yes, I think this horse has kind of bounced around, ran in the slop, he's run on the dirt, has routed on the grass, has sprinted on the grass. But I think what I like the most is this horse is versatile. This horse can go to the lead if the horse has to. This horse can sit off the pace. So I think with someone like Jose Ortiz on the mount, he can kind of navigate what he wants to do once the race starts. So, and then he can decide, all right, we got to go. Or we could sit back a little bit and then we make one late run. And I think the buyer speed figures are really, you know, 90, 83, 89, 89. So this horse has the quicks to get there. And I think I think he's going to make a decision once the race starts, what he's going to do. And I think he's going to sit off. And if he sits just off the pace, he certainly has the ability to try and nab him late. So I landed on the 11, a Fleet Ascent.
Yeah, I landed on the 13, a Song for Arch, with Laurent Giroux aboard. Has run 5 times on the turf and has run well each and every time. And the buyer speed figures have been on an ascent. He peaked the last race where he was disqualified and placed 6th or 7th in the race, but did run an 80 buyer speed figure. I think it's a positive rider switch to Giroux, who's terrible in the East Coast. But down at the fairgrounds, you stick him out in Chicago at Arlington Park. Florent Giroux is one of the better riders. And I think he sits on the outside. I'm a little bit curious in terms of how wide he is going around the turn. But if Giroux can put him in the right position, and I think that's what this is all about at 5.5 furlongs. I'm going to go with the 13, a Song for Arch at 15-1 on the morning line. Kenny, who are you using underneath?
Yeah, if you notice, your horse had post 13 two back and ran pretty well. Got through the neck.
Yep.
Song for Arch. I don't think you can go wrong here, really, unless you're on, you know, the 9 Monty Man, who I think is going to be an underlay if he's anywhere close to that that morning line. But granted, the barn does real well with turf sprinters, 39%, but also if one turf sprint race where, you know, he seemed like he had a relatively perfect trip and a good race flow in his favor, you know, you want to take 3-1 in the field like that, you know, to me, that's a horse you got to try to beat if he's anywhere close to that sure price. My second horse was the 6 Fame Feather, who's from the same barn as the favorite, Monty Man. Again, the barn wins 39% with turf sprinters. This one goes off 2 straight wins, 4-5 sprinting on the turf. Another horse is going to be a real nice price, and 12-1 would be pretty enticing. This is a race you really want to spread out and try to catch a price. And another horse who kind of fits for me is Roger Brown, number 12. A horse of proven speed, a proven turf sprinter. A little wide here, yes, and he does want the lead, which is why I picked him third instead of first or second. But this is a horse you have to consider off that last figure at Sam Houston, an 88 buyer, and he was much the best and seemingly geared down in the late stages. Roger Brown was my third horse. So I was 10-6-12 in this race.
All right, Mons, who do you use underneath?
So I used Win Lion Win, the one who I really liked in the Woodford last year. I didn't like, at the time, I didn't like the race. Going back and watching, at a big price I liked, at a price here. I think, you know, drawing the rail, not the greatest thing, but I think we'll be coming off the pace. You know, there's always, even if there's not horses on paper that are going to be fast, it's a sprint. There's going to be some speed. There might be something to close into. The one win line win, and I ended up, I did throw the favorite, Monty Man in there, 11 for 31 overall in his career, likes the track one for one, certainly has the buyer speed figures. And like you said, the barn's 39% with turf sprints, and the trainer's, you know, at 34% at this meet. So a lot to like there. Don't love the price, but going to use underneath.
Yeah, I'm using a couple of Monzo's picks underneath. I'm going to use the one win lion win at 6-1 on the morning line with Smith aboard for everything that Brian mentioned. I'm also using his top pick, and that is the 11 of Fleet Ascent at 5-1 on the morning line for Jose Ortiz and Steve Asmussen. So for me, it's going to be the 13, A Song for Arch, on top of the 111, and that is the Costa Rising, 60 grand on the line, 5.5 furlongs on the turf down at the fairgrounds, race 9, 2:59 Central Time is your post time. All right, so now we have what, race 10?
Yep, 10, 11, 12, 13.
Okay.
This is a guaranteed pick for one, if you want to talk about that or not, or if we have to.
Okay.
Well, we don't have to. We can mention it.
Okay.
I'll play it and lose in the last leg.
All right. Stop. Here we go. Or you can hit it and not know.
Yes.
Three, two, one. All right, guys, let's move on to race 10 at the fairgrounds. Mark Malusis, Brian Monzo from WFAN, and Kenny Peck from the Daily Racing Form. And this is the Road to the Derby podcast brought to you by Naira Bets. Remember, sign up at Naira Bets right now. Use promo code Monzo, M-O-N-Z-O. Earn a $200 new member bonus with Naira Bets. You can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Sign up right now. We're always looking for new players in the thoroughbred game. And certainly win some money. Yeah, no doubt about it. And if you've been listening to this podcast through the years, we've been able to make you some money. And we've been hot as a firecracker, as my dad would say, you know, through these prep races. And we'll get to Louisiana Derby. We're into the fairgrounds here. We're up to race 10. And 3:34 Central Time is your post time, and it is the New Orleans Handicap. It is a grade two at 1 1/8 over the main track down at the fairgrounds. Kenny, we've got 11 going postward. Who do you like in this one?
I didn't want to, but I ended up on a favorite, Silver Dust, to 6. I thought the mineshaft was impressive, overcame some slow fractions there. 0-2 at 1 1/8, which I don't love, but at least one of those tries was against a very tough field in a West Virginia Derby. I think this horse will be perfectly positioned behind the speed, really in sharp form in the last three, winning three of his last four. And really nice workout since the last start. He's cross-centered in the next race, the Munez, but if he does go here, he's going to be very, very tough. And he is the 7-2, the tepid favorite at 7-2, but nonetheless, the favorite in the race. But I really think that he's going to be tough here if he runs to that last one.
Mons, where'd you land?
Yeah, he's going to be tough. But, you know, I looked elsewhere. I bet that horse in the mineshaft, Silver Dust. So I feel like I capitalized on him there, and I'm going to look a little elsewhere.
That's right. You did love Silver Dust that day.
I'm going to look at the cashed 10 here. Yes. I'm going to look at the 10 here, Copper Bullet, who I think came out of a really strong race in the Razorback. Cole Front was very game that day. He battled with him, couldn't quite get there. Rated R superstar. Finishes third, goes out and wins again last weekend.
Key race.
So I think we're coming out of, I think that Razorback's going to show up to be a really strong race. And I think Copper Bullet, getting in form now for Steve Asmussen, looks ready to run a big one here and really could be turning into one of the top older horses here right now. So Copper Bullet, top pick to 10. I'd kill for 4-1, my top pick in New Orleans.
All right, so you're going to go with Copper Bullet. I landed on the 2 Lone Sailor for Tom Amos and with James Graham aboard. Second race off of the layoff. I know has not won at the fairgrounds, but has placed twice. So 4 times run at the fairgrounds, has finished second twice. 1-4 at the distance, but has come in the money all 4 occasions that Lone Sailor has run at the distance. You know, has been working decently and steadily enough. Loved the workout 3 back in early February. It was a bowler workout, best of 63, going 5 furlongs in 59 and change. I know he's run since, but I look at Lone Sailor. I think he probably needed that race, and I think he's probably set up for a bang-up race, and we know how Amos wants to shine on this day down at the fairgrounds, being one of his home tracks, is an uber-successful trainer down there. Down there at the fairgrounds. I'm going to go with the 2 Lone Sailor in the New Orleans Handicap. Kenny, who do you like underneath?
I agree with you about Lone Sailor for a lot of the same reasons you said. And, you know, I too think that he will move forward after that race he probably needed last time off the short layoff. So I used him. I actually picked him third. My second pick was the 11 Core Beliefs, who makes his first start off the layoff for Peter Urton. And last time out in the Pennsylvania Derby when last seen, really didn't have the easiest of trips trying to come from off the pace in a race that set up well for speeds. I think this race is set up better for him. He is wide, but he does have tactical speed, and he should be well positioned right off the leaders.
Mons, who do you use underneath?
So I used a horse that I probably never thought I'd bet, but is in form, and I think is, again, coming out of a really strong race in the race, back to three, Super Tappet, who's, you know, runs very well every time, has had success at this track, has had success at the distance. I think kind of fits this field. I don't think this is like an A field. I think this is like a B field, a bunch of B-plus players. And so I'm going to use the three, Super Tappet, and then I am going to use the six, Silver Dust, who I think is a horse for the course here. And I'm just trying to, you know, the horse has run 19 times and won four. I'm trying to bank on this is one of the 15 losses, but does run a good enough race to finish second or third.
Yeah, and it's not a great race. And maybe it's because I cashed last year on him in the Louisiana Derby, where I thought he showed a lot of heart, win that race by a neck, and sticking to the rail with John Velazquez. I'm going to, as a flyer, and I know the buyer speed figures have been on the descent, and he's run terribly, he's run up the track. I don't think Todd Pletcher is sending Noble Indy and getting Velazquez aboard at 15-1 on the morning line unless he feels that the four-year-old son of Take Charge Indy is somewhat back. I don't think he's sending him there to get destroyed. So it's Rapoli, it's Pletcher, it's Velazquez. That trio has had a lot of success on the track. You're getting 15-1 on the morning line. It's more of a gut play than anything that you see in the past performances, because if you look at his recent past performances, he could easily be 20-1. I'm just telling you, I just think the human connections and knowing Pletcher is a trainer, I don't think he'd send him there unless he felt like Noble Indy had at least a puncher's chance of running decently at 15-1 on the morning line. So I'm going to throw Noble Indy underneath. I'm going to use Super Tap at the three as well.
I think he may also see a vulnerable spot for other horses and says this is a nice, easy field. Fair. I could throw him in here and we could see what happens.
Right, and I'm going to use the three Super Tap it underneath for a lot of the reasons that Monzo mentioned, and I'm going to throw in the 10 Copper Bullet as well, Monzo's top pick for Steve Asmussen and Jose Ortiz. So there you go. All right, let's move on to race 11, and that's the Muniz Memorial Handicap. A grade two, mile and eighth on the turf, post time 4:10 Central Time. Divisadero is in this one, as is Bricks and Mortar, 2-1 in the morning line for Chad Brown and Irad Ortiz. Kenny, where did you land in this one?
Well, the four Bandua is cross-centered on the dirt in the previous race. I think we'll probably go here, and I think he's a better fit here. I think he's got some upside at 12-1. His last race, he was behind a couple of these, but he had a few problems. One, he was a little fractious at the gate. The other was the race foes against him. He was kind of close up there. Then he made a middle move to the lead and actually looked like he had a shot to win it at 35-1. He got run down in the late stages. But if this horse is anywhere around 12-1, first of all, I hope he goes in here. Because, you know, even his start prior, he made a middle move to the lead at Woodbine in the Canadian International. If this horse can make the right run, I think he could be tough here. And again, if he's 12-1 and he runs back to that 99 bar or improves upon it a little bit, he's right there with these horses. And I think it's just going to come down to trip. Matter of fact, he might get, like I talked earlier about the horses getting first runs on loose speeds, he might be able to get the first run on the early leader, who's probably going to be the 9 Final Copy, and maybe inherit the lead from that horse, or since he's inside of him, maybe he's on the front end this time instead of making that premature bid. So I think Bandua's got a shot at a big price.
Mons?
Yeah, I wanted to be creative. I ended up on Bricks and Mortar, who I think is right now just turning into one of the better older turf horses in the country. He's come back off the long layoff, has run 2 really good races. His race in the Pegasus Turf Invitational was tremendous. I think he's going to appreciate the extra distance on the turf. I think he's going to appreciate the long stretch here. I think he's going to grab that lead at the top of the stretch and win this one relatively comfortably. I just think he's better than this field. I think they have big plans for this horse down the stretch this year, and I think this is the second stepping stone for this horse, maybe going to the Breeders' Cup, Filly and Mare. turf.
Yeah, I'm with Brian. I do like Bricks and Mortar. You know, back-to-back races of well over 100 buyer, 102 and 106. The last race down at Gulfstream Park, very, very easily. Irad Ortiz rides, understands what he needs to do, and health has been an issue. But when Bricks and Mortar has been on the track, been very, very impressive when you think about it. So I land on the 7, and when you look at the results, I land on the 7 Bricks and Mortar. I'm going to use the 8 Inspector Lindley underneath. McGahey and Jose Ortiz, they click at about a 25% race, and this is not just a note for Saturday, but a note down at Gulfstream Park or Belmont or up at Saratoga. You know, and Jose Ortiz is not necessarily the go-to rider, but when he does pick up some mounts, especially on the turf for Shug McGahey, he has a tendency to ride them and ride some pretty live mounts. And he's a tendency, especially with the dominance of Chad Brown, to get a decent enough price. So I'm going to use the 8 Inspector Lindley underneath. I'm going to use the 4 Bandua, Kenny's pick underneath as well. I'm going to use the 2 Divisadero with Florent Giroux aboard. So that's the way I'm landed. But I'm landed with the 7 on top of the 2, 4, and 8. Kenny, who are you using underneath?
I agree with you about Inspector Lindley. I used him 2nd. And my 3rd pick was Synchrony, the 3, who comes off a win over Bandua in that last race. I'm against you guys with Bricks and Mortar. I liked him in that last race, and I thought the race set up well for him. But I think he benefited from the race flow, and I think he's going to regress off that effort. And I think he's going to be overplayed. I don't think that field was as good as this one, and I think he might be a bit of an underlay.
Mons, who do you use underneath again?
So I use the 8 Inspector Lindley. Always runs a good race. I think actually has upset potential, because every time I don't think he has a shot, he ends up winning. And then I use the 2 Divisadero. To me, the class of the field, the 7-year-old Kitten's Joy, just always seems to run. Always cut. If this horse is closer than normal, I think has the speed figures to get up, maybe even to win. But I'm going to use underneath 7, 8, 2 for me.
All right, let's move on to race 12 at the fairgrounds. 4:44 Central Time is your post time. Mile and 16th, main track. It's the Fairground Oaks, which is a grade 2. A field of 8 fillies will go postward in this one, Kenny. Who do you like?
I think this is what Mons is talking about when the favorite's later in the card with 7 Gady Empress. Is that true?
This is the next one.
She's going to be tough. I mean, she's got tactical speed and she's got the speed figures. Last race was obviously impressive, and she could have run faster. She was geared down in the last 100 yards, at least, probably more than that. And if she runs to that race, she's going to be real tough in here. There's not a ton of speed in here to run with her. And in fact, she's probably the main speed once again. And I just really couldn't find a horse that I could, or a filly I could really latch onto and say, here's the horse I think that can beat her. I think she's a legitimate favorite. I think she's going to be tough to run down.
Yeah, I mean, race flow goes with her. Not much to challenge her on the lead. Coming off a fantastic run at the fairgrounds as well. Amos, we talked about before, stars at that track, the trainer, Graham aboard. I agree with you, Kenny. I mean, there's times that we like to take shots at favorites. And last week we did in the 2 editions of the Rebel Stakes, right? And taking shot at the 2 Baffert horses. I thought there were 2 legitimate shots. I have a hard time picking any other horse other than the 2 here in this one, Serengeti Empress in the Oaks. Mons, where'd you land?
Yeah, I'm on the 2. I just think this is one of those races the horse is going to get to the lead early and just on talent alone is going to win and is going to turn for home. It's going to be gone. I was not a believer in her the last race in the Rachel Alexandra, and I was proven to shut up. I used the 6 Eris 2 underneath and the 8 Leora, 2 victims of her last race, and I think this is going to be pretty formful. I like to be creative when I can. I didn't think this was an opportunity to do so.
Yeah, underneath Kenny, you use anybody underneath Serengeti Empress?
I underneath strictly, not on par with the favorite, but
sure.
Sweet Diane is my 2nd pick, number 4, coming from Tampa, out of a decent race. I just don't, I thought she'd move too soon there. I just don't think she's as good as the 2, especially if she's in the spot or a head start as the main speed. And my 3rd pick was Leora, the 8. Another horse, Ed and Blinkers, For a barn that does real well with that move, 33%, that's Wayne Catalano, should show more speed and might be the horse who gets first run on the favorite.
Yeah, I went with the 8, Leora, and then I threw in the 7, Peter Urton, Invader from Southern California, and that slew good to be true. So I went with the 2 on top of the 8-7, and that is the Fairground Oaks, a mile and a 16th, a grade 2. Let's move on to race 13, and this is the big prep race, the Louisiana Derby. Which is a mile and eighth, 9 furlongs they will be going. Post time is 5:13 Central Time out at the fairgrounds. And we've got a field of 11 3-year-old colts that will be going postward. Kenny, who do you like in this one?
Kenny, first off, do you have a favorite Louisiana Derby winner of all time?
Oh, man. Risen Star? From way back when you guys were alive for that?
Yeah, no. Risen Star, yeah. Grindstone?
Oh, yeah, Grindstone, right.
I think that was when you were making up quotes for Jose Ferrer.
All right, there you go. Jerry Bailey.
That was in the early 90s. That was Edgar Prado.
That's right. I'm sorry.
don't be ridiculous. War of Will. What are we going to do with War of Will? Mons, I know you like this horse. You already tipped your hand.
Yeah, I it's already my top pick. I think this horse is built for the Triple Crown racing, and I just think the talent's there. So I'll give my reasons why I think the horse is going to win. Kenny, tell me why it's not.
I think you're right. I mean, I would love to try to beat him. Again, you know, you hate to latch on to 4 to 5 shots, but what are you supposed to do? I mean, his horse, tactical speed, the best figures in a race. The Risen Star was real impressive. Hard to envision him not getting a similar trip because he has a tactical speed and how the race is going to set up. But, you know, it's not going to be some blinding fast pace, it doesn't seem. But, you know, that type of thing can screw up the horses that are close to the lead. So he's not going to have that. He's going to sit a perfect trip in hand and you know, he's going to have plenty left for the stretch the way the race projects to be run. Has won 3 straight. You know, it's one of those things where sometimes you have to eat the chalk. There's really, to me, it's kind of folly to play against him here because he just looks like the best horse in the race. I think you might be able to find value underneath with a horse like Whirlin, the one who I thought was moving real well in the late stages behind War of Will last time after a slow start. If you wanted to get, you know, really crazy, not crazy, but you want to get, you know, a little bit wild, maybe you try Roiland on top of the pick 4. By the way, there's a $500,000 guaranteed pick 4 ending in this race. Maybe use Roiland as a B or a C, but obviously the race goes through War of Will.
Mons?
Yeah, to me, what War of Will showed in the last race, drawing the 13, I'm sorry, getting position, letting a horse run in front of him, turning for home, and all the other horses that showed any sort of speed in that race just went backwards, and he went forwards. And it was very impressive. They'll be able to hold on. I know Country House looked really green in that race and will definitely improve here, but just the explosive turn of foot he had, he was never fully asked to go. And, you know, that race benefited closers, and he was just right up on the pace and just...
Perfect trip, though.
Yeah, perfect trip, absolutely. But I think if there's plenty of speed in front of him, he can sit back. I think if it's a slow race, he'll be a little closer. I think he's versatile. I think the jockey knows how to ride him. Obviously, Cassie knows where to spot him. And I just think, I'm not saying he's a lock to win the race.
No, I got
what
you.
What I'm saying is I think it's going to be very hard to beat him, and he's my top pick.
Yeah, Monzo and I have been on War of Will for a while. So, you know, 6-5 on the morning line. I'm going to try and beat him on Saturday. I am. And the reason why I'm going to try and beat him, because I'm going to look to, you know, you look at the trainer that's kind of dominated the 3-year-old landscape up until this point in time, and that has been one William Mott, Billy Mott. And we know how, you know, he's won the Tampa Bay Derby at the favorite in the Fountain of Youth. And, you know, both those colts will be marching on to the Florida Derby and to, you know, to the to Aqueduct as well. But I land on the 8 Country House with Saez for Billy Mott. And the horse that came out of a maiden special weight, ran in the Risen Star, was as green as the day is long in the race. It was basically all over the track, came rallying late. If the horse would have been able to run a straight line in the stretch, I think would have been closer to War of Will. Now, the question is, how much does he learn from the race? You go back to his Gulfstream Park race, he didn't have any issue there, but he won that race so stylishly and so easily. Coming after he broke last, coming out of the gate, was the odds-on favorite and dominated. Certainly a very, very talented 3-year-old son of Looking at Lucky. And I'm going to take the idea, third start off of the break, learned a little bit from the Risen Star, takes a step forward, maybe a little bit of a regression from War of Will. Maybe the race doesn't exactly go War of Will's way. And I'm banking on the idea that Country House can run a straight line in the stretch. If he can't and he's all over the track, then he's not going to win the race. But I'm gonna, because I don't think you're getting 6-5 on War of Will.
No.
I think potentially, because I think you might be 3-5, 4-5. I think he might be that heavy of a favorite. So at 3-5, 4-5, I'm going to take a shot against him, even though I love him. And I think he's a very, very talented 3-year-old son of Warfront for Mark Cassie with Tyler Gaffney on a board. I'm going to take a shot against him. I'm going to go with the 8 Country House, 9-2 on the morning line for Billy Mott.
You know, underneath, I thought Lemonskate had a shot, only because the race is mostly made up of stone closers. He might be the pace setter. And, you know, War of Wills and Gaffney are not going to be looking to knock heads early. They're going to let him go.
No.
If he could back down to fractions a little bit, maybe he could hang on for a part. I picked him third behind Royal and the favorite. I know what you're saying about War of Will. This might not be the time for me
to take a shot against. Because
he projects to get another perfect trip.
Yeah, that's
fair.
As
you said, he had a perfect trip last night, and that's what he does. He makes perfect trips because of his tactical speed, and it's probably going to happen again. And that's why I'm having a tough time envisioning a scenario where he gets beat.
Mons, who do you use underneath?
Yeah, I mean, look, if I were to take a chance. And I'm not saying I'm going to. I mean, look, if he's won the 5 or whatever, I'm not going to play him. I'm going to play against him, even though I think he has got the best chance to win. I'm interested in seeing Spinoff run. I've been talking to someone who's been talking up Spinoff for a while now. He did the 2 sprints to a route. He took that map, and on his route try in a claiming race, he won by 11 lengths. So the works have been tremendous. You're looking at Pletcher and Velasquez. You're looking at a horse that obviously has some speed early, can obviously sit off, can rate. So there's obviously some talent there. Comes from hard spun, a horse, but some history. I'm not saying he's going to win the race, but I'm saying at a price, 8-1, I'm definitely going to use underneath. And I use the 8 Country House as well. So War of Will, Spinoff, Country House.
Yeah, my underneath Country House on top for me, you got to use the 6 War of Will. I'm going to use the 3 Lemonite a little bit. With Jose Ortiz now aboard. I think it's a positive rider change for Steve with Steve Asmussen here. You look at those two together, they've had a little bit of success. I think that does help. I think getting back to the fairgrounds certainly helps a little bit too. Or running now second race back at the fairgrounds helps. I'm going to go with the 3 Lemonite, who had a disastrous trip in the Risen Star, 20-1 on the morning line. And I'm going to use Monzo's 10 spinoff for Todd Pletcher and John Velasquez. So those are the 3, but I think the winner is either War of Will or Country House. I think those are the 2, 6 or the 8. If you're going to play that pick 4, you end on those 2. I know it's a horse race. Anything could happen. I'm going to take a shot to beat War of Will and with Country House, but I think the winner comes from either of those 2 because I think they're the 2 best 3-year-olds in the race.
I do love the fact that War of Will, win, lose, or draw in this race, I think we'll be in the money regardless.
Yeah.
We'll have 8 races of foundation underneath him going into the Kentucky Derby. I think that's just, he's run enough. He's got guts. I like everything about this horse. God willing, he stays healthy and gets there.
So 2 of the 3 of us are on War of Will, the 6, Kenny and Mons. I went with the 8 Country House, and there's the Louisiana Derby. A mile and 1/8, grade 2, Derby prep race. Is Louisiana Derby 1 1/8 on the main track. Post time is 5:13 Central Time. All right, we got 1 pick out at Aqueduct, and that is race 8, 5:37 post time. 6 furlongs on the main track, worth $100,000, and that is the Quesada Stakes, as 8 will go postward in this one. Kenny, where'd you land?
I thought Miss Imperial had a good shot. Last 2 starts from last scene, real impressive. We're at race 2 back in the optional claimer. She was pushing the pace in the race, it set up well for closes and ended up holding on, opened up 5 at the 8th pole, held on by a length. Last time in a Ruthless, was in a race-long duel with two other horses and held second. She was a beaten favorite there. I thought she ran real well. I like the fact that she could rake because the speed to her inside. I think there's going to be a couple of horses going for the lead, including the favorite, Stones in the Road, number 2, Fangirl, number 1, and I think that Miss Imperial set a perfect trip behind those 2.
Mons.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I really find these races fascinating when there's like 5 or 6 horses that can go to the lead and they all look pretty good. So you have to try and figure out who's the fastest, who's going to be the fastest out of the gate. Do you look at the jockey? Do you look at the post position? So I think the favorite, the 2, was going to get there just based on talent and how the gate drills have looked. I think the 3 has a chance to get out to the lead. I think who else I'm looking at here? Guacamole has a chance to get. There's just a lot of horses
great
here
name.
With some speed. Yes, tremendous. And healthy. So I looked at a horse like the 8, Miss Imperial, who can sit just off the speed. And, you know, I just think, and working for Jason Service, the service, you know, you don't have to talk about how many wins they get these days.
50% down at Gulfstream, right?
It's just insane. So I think the race is going to set up very well for a horse like Miss Imperial. I think the 2 is going to be over bet. So I use the 8, Miss Imperial, over the 2. And then I use another horse I think is going to be coming off the pace, the 4, Gracetown, for Michelle Nevin, who I think is going to be coming off the pace late. You know, I just think this race sets up well, and I think you're going to get a little bit of a price, 8-1. Might be a little lower than that, but overall, 8-2-4 for me.
All right, I landed. I'm with you, Brian. I landed on the 8. Looking at the way the race does play out, Miss Imperial for Service and Manny Franco, I think sits the trip just off the speed, able to pounce first, generate a little bit of space. I went with the 3, Forgotten Hero, underneath. And then I also landed with the 2, Stones in the Road. So I landed 8 on top of the 2-3. 8-2-3 for me. And that is race 8, the Ciata Stakes out at Aqueduct. 5:37 post time on Saturday.
And we got a lot, you know, we still got the Florida Derby.
Yep.
Still got the Wood Memorial. We'll see what's going on with the Santa Anita Derby, but still a lot of these to go. We've done a pretty good job so far. Hopefully that trend continues.
Yeah, and remember, Derby Bankroll Builder. Bet at least $50 on one horse to win the Louisiana Derby on Saturday and get a $20 cash bonus, win or lose. You don't have to hit in order to get the bonus, but bet must be placed on Naira Bets app. You know, you look at it, only available Naira Bets. You can play all the Derby Bankroll Builders, 5 in total. Each get $20 per race. Earn up to $100 cash bonus for the Derby. The next race is going to be April 6th, which is the Wood Memorial out at Aqueduct. And it is Louisiana Derby weekend. Remember, sign up at Naira Bets. Use promo code Monzo, M-O-N-Z-O. Earn a $200 new member bonus with Naira Bets. You can bet any track from anywhere at any time. You bet $200, you get $200. So you got a free $200 wager. And you do that, and $200 will be put back into your account. You play one of our winners, you put $200 on the nose of War of Will, even if he goes off at, 3-5. You'll make a little bit of money, you'll get $200 back. So there you go. Doesn't get any better than that. Remember to follow us on Twitter this weekend as well, because you got the Sunland Park Derby on Sunday, and we'll be firing out a pick for that too.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And maybe I'll tweet out a pick 4. There's plenty of things we'll be tweeting out. Check us out on Twitter, at BMonzo Radio, at Mark Malusis. What is it, Kenny?
At DRF Peck.
There you go.
DRF Peck, P-E-C-K. Gentlemen, enjoy the Louisiana Derby, all right?
Same to you, Moose.
Good luck, everyone. You got it. Good luck to everyone, and thanks for listening.